Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
4 years to come. Your starting quarterback, true freshman. One of your starting wide receivers, junior. Another starting wide receiver, sophomore. You've got two juniors and a freshman starting with you on the offensive line. Everybody on the D-line is an underclassman, with the exception of Jamon Brooks. And you've got things you can look forward to in the secondary that are getting older, and the recruiting classes. And I know we say this all the time with regards to Tech. They are looking like what an ACC school should look like. So much of the athleticism was lacking under Paul Johnson. And I do feel like the change in offense to an actual guy who coaches college football the way it's supposed to be coached in the 21st century, no offense to Paul Johnson, at least at the high level, you can do what you want with Army and Navy in terms of the option, but you can't win football games with that in 2020, in my opinion, in the Power Five. So, in my opinion, looking at the final looking slate for Georgia Tech, if you go with losses to BC, with losses to Notre Dame, Miami, and Pitt down the stretch, if you beat BC, Duke, and NC State, and go 3-3 over your last six, I think you're all right. I think you're all right. After you sit right now at basically what amounts to a 2-3 record through your first five games. If you go 3-3 down the stretch, 5-6 isn't bad. But at the end of the day, you still wonder about what progress looks like. If you can get an extra victory and get to 6-5, then you're in business. You've got forward progress. You've got the ability to show progress and show that to your recruits. But individual victories over the schools I mentioned would certainly do that as well. Certainly beats the alternative going like 1-9. As for UGA, look, I don't think anybody looks at last week and says it's a good thing, but I feel like it could be a good thing in this sense. You finally saw what Stetson Bennett's ceiling is. It's below what we saw last week. It could get you to a point where if you use him over the rest of the regular season, he can get you back to Atlanta. He's not going to get you through. He could get you to a point where you beat Florida. He can get you to a point where you beat who you play next week with Kentucky. But at the end of the day, what should the ceiling be for Georgia? Ceiling for Georgia should be getting back to the college football playoff. And I feel like the quarterback who's best apt to do that on this roster is JT Daniels. Kirby Smart said, with Georgia idle this week, this could be a week where you see a little bit more of JT Daniels getting reps in the higher part of the squad in practice. He said that you would see a little bit more out of guys with regards to the ability to play JT Daniels a little bit more on the second team, maybe even first team reps. But again, he keeps bringing up DeJuan Mathis, and it's like, the DeJuan Mathis thing, that's over. We tried that. Like, he was woeful. I'm sorry. There's no reason why you bring DeJuan Mathis back before you bring JT Daniels up. And if that's the case, if you bring DeJuan Mathis up before you bring JT Daniels up, then you are not being truthful about how healthy JT Daniels is to us. Because if JT Daniels is cleared, and if JT Daniels is good to go, and he's practicing, why'd you bring him in here to sit on the bench? And it's not as if Stetson Bennett does what Kirby wants to do anyway. He doesn't protect the football. He's got too much of the Favre gene in him. He's a gunslinger. Gunslingers can't play quarterback at Georgia. You got to protect the football. And the also thing about this that kind of remains to be seen is that you wonder if Todd Monken's on the same page of what Kirby wants as well. Because they were getting 5-6 yards a pop running the football. They went away from it against Alabama. Now, you can't give up 41 points to the Crimson Tide either. I feel like somehow, some way, the defense is getting, I don't want to say a pass, but all anybody wants to talk about is Stetson Bennett. There is some criticism to go on the defensive side of the football, too. DJ Daniel didn't have a good game. Guys on the outside didn't have a good game. There were some who were talking to us throughout the week saying bad things about Richard LeCount. I feel like he's the last person you can criticize right now, but still, it looks bad for one, it looks bad for all. So, if anything needs to change over the course of the next couple of weeks, is that George needs to commit to a quarterback and stick to him. And if you commit to Stetson Bennett, I don't think you're getting to a national championship this year. And is it enough for you, as a Georgia fan, to be number one, number two in recruiting every year, but unable to find the truth at QB? It's not just Georgia having this problem. Tennessee has this problem. A&M has this problem. South Carolina has this problem. Florida had this problem until they found Kyle Trask. The problem is, they found a quarterback and everything else went to hell. And it could happen in the inverse too. The two Mississippi schools have quarterbacks, but no talent anywhere else on the field. They don't play no defense in Mississippi. It's illegal. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. We return. The Kicker, a little early edition of The Kicker. A new location for the Army-Navy game, and Aaron Rodgers has interns? I'll explain with the hodgepodge stories that only fit in one place. When we come back, Willie P is in the building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. Willie P is in the building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. I know you did the same thing I did, Ken. I looked up at the Clemson-Syracuse game and saw something happening that I wasn't expecting to happen, and that is a scoop and score for the Tigers. Andrew Booth, the Decula native, ends up going in for a scoop and score touchdown to give Clemson a 34-21 lead as they approach the end of the third quarter there. Booth is somebody who has had a bit of a maligned career for Clemson. He took a real weird targeting call, I think, last year in a game for Clemson that I feel like it was a situation. It was either a targeting or I think it was an unsportsmanlike conduct where he was ejected from the game one way or the other, if I remember correctly, for Clemson, and ended up drawing the ire of Dabo Sweeney. One thing that is interesting is that Travis Etienne is coming back from the locker room after going to the locker room. We'll see whether or not he'll continue to play for Clemson as they have him 55 career rushing yards from the ACC record, as they put up on a note here on the screen for the Tigers. Again, number one team in the country was having a little bit of a slip up, but it looks like they've at least regained control of that contest here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Elsewhere in the world of college football, we've seen Ohio State jump out to more of a comfortable lead against Nebraska in their ball game going on at the Horseshoe in Columbus. Originally, it was 1 point. That was a 3-point ball game between Nebraska and Ohio State, but the Buckeyes have at least gotten themselves within arm's length of the Nebraska Cornhuskers here in week 8 of the college football season, as my school board now refreshes. 38-17, Ohio State leads Nebraska. That game has entered the fourth quarter. North Carolina 38, NC State 7. It's K-State all over Kansas, 54-7. And into the fourth quarter, this one's a barn burner between the Eagles of Georgia Southern and Coastal Carolina. Number 25 shot that clears on the ropes in Conway. 14-14 is the score. Coastal Carolina has the football, 11.5 to play in the fourth quarter, as they have entered in Eagles territory. We'll keep you updated on everything going on around the college football world, including what's to come in the 3:30 and later windows when we tell you about what's happening coming up in about 15 minutes. We're taking you all the way up until Atlanta United soccer coverage about 45 minutes from right now at the Benz. Atlanta United taking on DC United with the Five Stripes 1 point out of a playoff spot with four games to play. Team that's immediately in front of them, though, does have a game in hand with the Chicago Fire. But they, as Jason Longshore pointed out with us earlier on in the show, have a bit of a tougher road to get themselves into the postseason than Atlanta United does. But the schedule they have remaining, if you missed that interview, you can rewind on the radio.com app, listen to that, and also hear archive segments from anything that you have and hear on our station via the radio.com app and at radio.com/929thegame. But right now, the stories that are a bit of a hodgepodge, not only in the world of sports and sports adjacent, they really just kind of belong all in one real segment that's kind of a little bit odd. We call it the kicker.
We're talking about our kicker who got liquored up and ran his mouth off. What has the sports world come to? We're talking about kickers. He has ruined kickers for life.
I don't like the sound of them apples, Will.
I don't like it, don't like it, don't like it.
A game that was one of the most unique viewing experiences of my sports watching life. I had the awesome ability to go to the Army-Navy game in 2016. It was December 7th, I think, 2016. It was the game where Army had a long losing streak against Navy. It was, I think, a 14-game losing streak or something to that effect. It was a long, long losing streak. They ended up winning, and just seeing the pageantry of that matchup, seeing the marching, seeing everything in the city of Baltimore, really just, it really hit home for me. And it gave me a lot of pride, a lot of American pride, and seeing those guys on the field, especially after the game when I was on the field looking at them, hugging each other, guys that they will go to battle with literally when they get off the football field and start their military service. It was amazing to see. That matchup, which usually happens on a neutral site, this upcoming year will happen on a home site. Mitchie Stadium in West Point is going to be the home of this year's Army-Navy game. Pennsylvania has attendance capped at 7,500 in outdoor venues like Lincoln Financial Field, where the game was supposed to be played this year. Officials say the move will allow the rivalry to continue while minimizing travel and exposure to the virus for players, coaches, and students. They have not played the Army-Navy game on a campus site since World War II. The two academies had home-and-home situations happen for that rivalry in 42 when they played at the Naval Academy home in Annapolis, and then in West Point in 1943. The schools also rotated the first 4 years of the rivalry back in 1890 through 1893. It will go back to Philadelphia in 2022. I believe 21, it's supposed to be at the New Jersey Meadowlands, but Army-Navy this year will take place at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point inside Mitchie Stadium. This story from ESPN's Sam Borden. Aaron Rodgers, quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, like other starting quarterbacks around the league, has one of the backups on the roster, might be Jordan Love, might be somebody else, make quizzes about their upcoming opponents to try and help his aptitude. Also, he mixes in some random pop culture questions and questions about the city or the team that they're playing. Well, that doesn't necessarily sit there and say it's something that's odd. This one is odd. He has his backup quarterbacks look up embarrassing information about the players he'll be facing that week, so he has original material to talk trash with. How crazy is that? That is next level trolling. It reminds me of when I went to Mizzou. They had the official student section, but then they had an offshoot of the student section that was called the Antlers. And I am not condoning any of this behavior. I was not an antler. Those guys are a special breed. But they took trash talking to a new level. And sometimes they actually cross the line. And I won't go into the reasons and ways that they cross the line. But some of the things that they did was they used to call up the hotel that the opposing teams would stay at, whether it was football or men's basketball, call up the hotel and call up random room to try and wake guys up in the middle of the night. And they had a way of obtaining information about a guy that whenever he went to the free throw line, especially in basketball, they would chant that information while the guy was making a free throw. And many times, it caused guys to either laugh or break their concentration on the free throw line and at the charity stripe. That's the kind of level of trolling that Aaron Rodgers is employing right now with his backups. That's incredible. And I just can't. That's a little bit too harsh. But again, anything to make you feel like you have a competitive or mental edge on an opponent, he has backups do that. Again, I wonder what role that Jordan Love plays in that regard, because as you know, the organization and the franchise drew some ire from Rodgers by trading up to draft Jordan Love from Stanford in the first round to possibly be the heir to Rodgers, much like Rodgers was the heir to Brett Favre, ironically, at the end of number four's career. From one storied quarterback to another, Kansas City quarterback Patrick Mahomes and fiance Brittany Matthews, you know, when he got his ring for the Super Bowl, he gave his ring to his fiance. And they also announced recently that Miss Matthews, soon to be Mrs. Mahomes, is with child. So they went for a very elaborate gender reveal. You can find this on Instagram, and I'll tweet it out at Willie P Style on Twitter. But Mahomes on Wednesday announced that they are expecting a baby girl. And again, in the world's most elaborate gender reveal I've ever seen, they had their dogs walk on to some white, I guess it was a construction paper or almost like a tissue paper with the color, whether it was blue for a boy or pink for a girl, the color which the gender of their child would be. And you see this awesome picture and video. Again, I would play the video except for the fact that it's only just music, so it's not as if it's conducive for radio. But if you see it, you see the cute puppies walking across the paper with pink paws. Patrick Mahomes is going to be a girl dad, which is very fun and awesome to hear for him and his fiance and bride-to-be, Brittany Matthews. I do want to bring this back only because it might be one of the funniest things that I've seen happen to a team that I don't root for. Daniel Jones, quarterback of the New York Giants, creating a moment that encapsulates not only their entire season, but the entire NFC East as a whole.
Handoff. Nope, Jones is going to keep it. Jones is going to run it. Jones across midfield. It's a foot race. Can he go all the way? Daniel Jones to the 20, and he stumbles, and he falls down at the 10.
The turf monster got him. Stumbling, rumbling, bumbling, and he falls down.
Call courtesy of WFAN. Daniel Jones reached an incomparable 21.23 miles per hour on that epic run, which was the fastest speed reached by a quarterback as a ball carrier in the last three seasons. It was also the longest run by a quarterback who did not score on a play since at least 1975. That's about as far back as the record for quarterback runs. Incomparable. And it's for a division in the NFC East that is en route to finish as the worst division ever. The worst cumulative record in NFL history for a division is 2008, when the NFC West went 22-42. That's a 34% winning percentage. I believe one of those teams also, correct me if I'm wrong, Ken, won a playoff game that year on the road, if I can remember correctly. The NFC East right now is 6-19-1 collectively with its four teams. Dallas, the Giants, Philadelphia, and the Washington football team, that's a 25% winning percentage. If Dallas and Washington play each other and don't get to a tie, that record will be 7-20-1. That would be a winning percentage of 27%. That's stunningly bad. And you could have a situation where a team sits at 6-10 and could be hosting a playoff game. I know it's an anomaly, but it has a lot of people asking the question about whether or not the NFL should change its rules regarding hosting in the AFC and NFC first rounds to have a team that, if you're a wild card and you win 10 games and you got to go and play a team that's 6-10 just by virtue of the fact that they won the worst division in the history of the National Football League, I understand you want to reward winning your division, But what should be the reward for winning that division? I mean, come on, man. That's the kicker. No crazy stories of the weird. I had a couple in there. Apparently, the woman who modeled for Snow White, name's Marge Champion, she died at the age of 101 over the weekend. They basically had a real-life woman model the cartoon version of Snow White back when they made that movie in the, I believe it was the early 50s. Jordan Love, again, played for Utah State. Why is he saying that? I think I said Stanford earlier. I meant Utah State. You know what I meant. Thanks for the correction, though. Appreciate that. Thank you for listening, Harry. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on in the college football world. NFL week number 7 also in play. And Atlanta United playing about a half hour from right now with the coverage as they get ready to take on DC United. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!